the name of our blessed Redeemer, my dear friends in Christ, fellow workers, hear the word of God as St. Paul writes to the Thessalonians in the first chapter. We give thanks to God always for you all, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For those of us who are in the pastoral ministry, or those of us who aspire to that holy calling, I think it's important to notice how God has ordered his church. There are times when we think that the practice of the Christian faith is a very private matter, that whether or not we gather for worship is our own business, and whether or not we are evaluated by others in what we believe and confess and how we practice our Christian life is really of no concern. I suppose that if any one of us was given the privilege of ordering the church, we might come up with some rather strange things. If you study the history of the church, you see that men have had all kinds of ideas, that the church must be hierarchical, that there must be those who are the princes of the church, and others have said simply this is a totally private matter. The thing that we notice first in this passage from St. Paul is that to be a pastor means to be involved in reporting to God. And to be a Christian means to submit oneself to being reported about. And therefore, it's not totally a private matter. I've called this little address, God Gets a Transcript. Somewhere in the vault that is guarded by the registrar, there is a transcript about you, and it will remain there for all generations as long as this seminary remains on earth, for anyone to come and see how you have done. You are being reported on constantly. Someday, if you decide to do graduate work, your transcript will be pulled out, and the question will be asked whether or not you have displayed capability of doing graduate work. So you have transcripts for you all over the place. And this is what St. Paul is saying, that if you are a Christian, you are subject to being reported about. God wants to hear, and God himself has arranged that people can report. Look at the terms he uses for pastors. The term pastor itself, poimen, a shepherd. Coming from a rural background, I cannot imagine a farmer who doesn't pay attention to his livestock and know every wrinkle and bump in them. We used to raise chickens on the farm that my dad had, and we could tell one chicken from another, believe it or not, because we were concerned. And therefore, as sheep of God's flock, there are shepherds appointed by God, mind you, not merely elected by ourselves, but appointed by God to watch our warts and wrinkles and bumps. Furthermore, he uses the term leader. He uses the term overseer, elder, those who are mature enough. And in the 13th chapter of Hebrews, he says, this is what it means to have a pastor, a leader. Obey those who are your leaders, because they are those who must give account. So here at a seminary, we balance between these two things, recognizing that it is entirely valid in God's will that somebody give a constant transcript about us, and that it is not unpastoral to be a judge, to evaluate. That's part of it. The day may come when you are a pastor and you too will be required by your God to report. As St. Paul says, I do this all the time, continuously. Whenever I pray, I'm telling God about you. And you can't escape that pastoral responsibility. One time in a pastoral conference, I mentioned this as a primary characteristic of the pastoral ministry, that you become accountable to God for the faith of other people. And a young pastor in the back stood up and said, I don't want that. Please don't lay that on me. My answer would be, you can't escape it. Therefore, here we learn to be reported on, to have transcripts made of us, being very much aware that in the pastoral ministry, you must continually report to God. And what do you report about? Paul says, we give thanks to God always for you all, and we would hope and pray that you would have that same blessing that St. Paul said. When I think of you people in Thessalonica, I can do it with joy and not with grief, as Hebrews says. For if a pastor needs to do it with grief, that's unprofitable for you. So the first thing that gets reported is what you are doing. This passage bristles with genitive all over the place. So he said, first of all, we're going to tell God about your work, and then about your toilings, and that's even harder work, I guess, and then about your patience or your steadfastness. I'm going to tell God whether or not you are working. However, it's not merely what we produce. You know, as we look at transcripts sometimes, we say, yes, he got an A. And there are those of us who give A's at times, but we give it in a very uneasy way. We say, well, he got an A, he did everything right, and yet somehow I'm uneasy. I wonder why. And St. Paul says, that I report on too. Not only your work, and he's very happy with what the Thessalonians were producing in their lives. They were living as Christians in a very evil time, in a difficult time. But he said, I also am concerned that your work flows from the right motivation. And here's where all the genitives, the subjective genitives, come in. That we want to be reported on not only as working, but that it is a work of faith, a work which faith produces, which obviously means we are not producing a work for which we want to get credit. Faith has its own way of producing work. There will be those in your flocks at times who will be busy all over the place and who will be a thorn in the flesh to you. There are times when you wish that some church members wouldn't work so hard, because the motive for their work does not flow from faith, a desire to serve their Lord, and a desire to serve their fellow men in compassion and love, but rather it's self-elevating. If I get appointed to four committees, that makes me important. And it is my own ego, my own importance, which makes me want to work. Paul says, no, I'm not merely concerned with reporting on your activity, but on the motive, faith, and the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, that faith in him and which is produced by him. Furthermore, you're toiling. You can stay up all night studying for finals and get good grades. That's really toiling, isn't it? You can be running all over the place and working hard in your field work, and that's toiling. Paul says, I'm glad to report that, God, that people are toiling. But again, he says, the motivation, it is a labor, a toiling of love, which is produced by love. And again, not merely out of a sense of busyness, of self-importance, of this machinery will all fall apart if I'm not here. And I can warn you that in the pastoral ministry, that's one of the great problems at times. We think we are so important that nobody else can do anything, including straightening the chairs for Sunday school at times. Our toilings are to be produced by agape, that understanding love, which says that even though people aren't reacting to the gospel the way I want them to, that somehow or other I still keep working for them because I'm getting paid by them. Believe me, in the ministry, it is not merely a matter of getting paid, but it is being motivated by the love, again, which is that love produced by our Lord Jesus Christ that drove him to the cross, to hang there as God and to die for us. That same kind of love, that agape love, is the motive. And furthermore, steadfastness. And that can at times be plain stubbornness, stick-to-itiveness, we call it. He never gives up. And again, Paul says, I'm really not that impressed unless I know the motive. What causes your steadfastness? What causes you to hang into the ministry for 35, 40, even 50 years? Maybe steadfastness is pure stubbornness, but is it a steadfastness of hope that though you may not see immediate results, you hang in there not because you think you're so great and can accomplish miracles, but because our Lord Jesus Christ has given us the assurance that even when we don't see the results of our labors, his word is powerful and working. I'd simply like to lay that on your heart to remember that being reported on and being a reporter to God is very much a part of the way God has ordered his church. We have no right to say, it's my business how I live as a Christian, and we have no right to say as pastors, I will not tell God how my people are doing. Paul says, I do this all the time. This is how it works. And I report not merely on their outward actions, which can flow from many false motives, but I report on what the gospel is doing as it fulminates in their hearts. Because they are working out of faith. They are toiling out of love. And they're hanging in there to the very end out of hope. May God grant us this vision of what the ministry of being a minister and being ministered to is all about. In his name, amen.